Welcome back to the Sneakronics podcast with me, Danny, aka at Roystinho, and my co-host, Dan, aka Dan underscore Squire. Good evening, my friend. How are things?
Good evening. It's a late one for us, isn't it, Danny?
It is a late one, but unlike last week where we didn't put one out until mid-afternoon because we were a bit lazy and stuff, we thought we'd do a late night show, not one of those late night shows before you get too excited. And do a last minute recording for a Wednesday morning podcast as per usual. And we do have a guest on today's episode. We have got Mr. 19.85. So Mark, who's talking about Jordans later and just some general chit chat. So he will be coming up in a bit. But yeah, how's your week been anyway, Daniel? I've just gone off on the one there and I've not really asked.
It's not too bad, Danny, not too bad. Spent most of the weekend trying to think of an idea of something I could do for this offspring competition for the Jordan 1 neutral grey.
I must say, if you've not seen my co-host's entry, please go to his Instagram page, Dan underscore. We shout out the Instagram pages right at the start so you can follow both our pages. Go find Dan's. I wet myself when I saw you on that playing card doing that jump shot. It was just, honestly, mate, it is one of the best things.
I nailed that jump shot, by the way, Danny. But yeah, I don't really mind making a fool of myself now and again if the shoe's worth it. So this one for me, I had to think of something that would be a bit different, I think. So yeah, hopefully it made a few people laugh anyway.
Yeah, and I just like generally making a fool of myself, even if it's not for shoes, but that's just another thing. So, yes, welcome to the... I keep forgetting, are we on episode 11 of our podcast?
Honestly, I didn't tell you, but it sounds about right. We need to start counting and putting numbers on them, don't we?
You know, the thing is, if you actually are listening to the podcast, it does actually say the episode number on it. I can never remember the week before what I wrote down, so... and I edit the title in, but it is what it is. Thanks for sticking to us. And once again, thanks for all the feedback and everything. It is quite overwhelming, actually, how many people kind of are constantly saying and constantly sharing. It is really good to hear.
How many episodes do we need to do a best of?
Ooh, and how do we do a best of?
No, I'll leave the technical bit to you, Danny.
I'm not going back through and editing all this. You're having a laugh, mate. I have got my cough back. Thank you very much. It was one day that I didn't have my cough, so do excuse that for this episode. And we do have some trainer sneaker news. Once again, my good co-host has been trawling the internet and Instagram and all sorts of places. I won't ask specifically what places he's been trawling on the internet. But we have got some sneaker news. Daniel, what have we got this week?
So, yeah, again, keep it to the main stories this week. But one of the biggest ones, the Jordan 1 collab with Trophy Room coming out this week. For me, a great shoe. Love the story. But a bit of controversy around the shoe because it appears like thousands of pairs have... I don't want to say being backdoored already because we don't know the full story, but they're in the hands of resellers already and the shoe's not even out.
Yeah, I have seen this. It is a bit of a... And, well, I don't want to spoil it too much because we do talk to Mark later about this in the interview. It's just something that... It's just a bit mad, really. I don't quite understand the rationale behind it, but or how all these resellers have got it. But yeah, everything kind of hate within the trainer sneaker game has kind of been showing off there, and I think a lot of people are a bit mad about it. But
I just hope we do find out what it's all about and get to the bottom of that story, because if it's worst case scenario and it's been backdoored, I hope it kind of helps to promote some kind of change in the industry and that kind of thing happening.
I love your fairy tales. They are so fantastic. That's maybe what it might be. But anyway.
Never know. And sticking with Jordan as well, Jordan 6, obviously coming out again, the retro. only the fourth time it's been retro. That's the Carmine colourway. Apparently, loads of retailers, I say loads, it's probably just a few, but you know what the internet's like,
yeah,
asking to send their pairs back because the red dye on the upper is making the midsole pink, basically. Like it's bleeding.
Yeah, I've seen a bit of this as well, but I don't know. I think a little bit like the Elephant Dunks, where there was the bad pairs always get sent around the internet a million times, and then it just gets a bit of a rumor behind it, don't it? So I don't know. I'd like to see the full extent when people get the pairs. Who's actually got a pink midsole, and whose pair's just fine? I don't know. But yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's one of them where things happen with shoes and leather. You know, Adidas actually put warnings on their red suede sneakers, don't they, saying that they will bleed if they get wet or if you wear them with X, Y, and Z. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. But obviously, if it's en masse, then it's not great from Nike.
No. In fact, and I don't know if many people know this. I know Gary with the Spezial line, Gary Aston, he's had some issues in the past, but that's why a lot of Adidas suedes come with the coloured laces that match the suede in, and you get spare laces separate, so then you don't get any colour bleed. And if you want to put them in and it bleeds, then it's your own fault. that is what it is.
Yeah, it's a great idea, to be fair. And, you know, if you can pass the blame, why not?
Yeah. If you want to wear white laces with your blue suedes and you get a baby blue lace, then that's your own fault.
And then, again, still with Nike this week, the you know, it leaked earlier on, but pairs got sent out. DJ Khaled got his pair this week. Yes. The return of the Nike Air Max 1 clock.
What do you think about this?
I think it's not for me. I think it will be a huge shoe, as it was obviously back in the day. And, you know, the original pairs are still massively in demand with sneakheads and Air Max heads and Air Max enthusiasts and everything. But for me, I've never liked a shoe with a see-through toe box.
No, they're a bit odd. I remember it was an Air Force 2, wasn't it, that years ago came out with a see-through. And I did try to buy a pair of those. He got some coloured socks. I don't know about the Clot Air, the Clot Air Max 1. I feel like, I don't know, things can get retroed, and I'm almost going to contradict myself here. The Baker 90s are getting retroed, are brilliant. When the Air Max 1 Elephant Atmoses came back out, brilliant. But I don't know, I feel like the Clot Air Max 1 was just a moment in time where it probably doesn't need repeating.
Yeah, it's definitely a shoe you don't need to walk down a street and see five people wearing.
No.
It's not one of those. It's not one of those shoes you'd even wear every day. There are a few differences. There's a few differences they've made. So they've perforated the toe box because obviously on the OG it's solid. Yeah. So you can imagine when people have hot feet or wet feet, it kind of steams up. Yeah. Another reason that there's just no need for a clear toe box. So they have made a few differences to it to make it slightly more wearable, I think. But
hey, dude, how sweaty are your feet?
For me, it's an easy skip on that one.
Yeah, I'm not bothered for those. They aren't going to be the 13th pair this year, let's put it that way.
And then, obviously, talking about retros, I think everybody follows Mr. Stash, and the guy's a legend. He's done some of the best Nike shoes ever. Mm-hmm. You know, the BW, the Air Force One, everything he'd done is amazing. He was kind of teasing an upcoming shoe over the past few weeks. I don't think many people expected that it would be a Bapester.
No, I mean, I've got to admit, I completely missed all the teases and everything around it. But I did see, just before, obviously you showed me the Bapes, and I was like, oh, it's one of those. I just did not see that coming at all, to be honest. I think, like, his Nike collaborations have just... Well, they are iconic, aren't they? Iconic is the word, so... I just did not expect it to come on a Bapestar.
No, same. I mean, I would have loved a retro of one of his shoes, or even for him to work on a new silhouette. I think anything he does on Nike is brilliant. The Spiridon a couple of years ago is one of the most underrated Nike shoes, in my opinion. It's
so good. Completely agree. It's such a good shoe, that.
And I mean, this collab works in terms of like when April's cool, and obviously Stash was at his height. It was kind of similar, like early 2000s, things like that. But yeah, he can do better.
He can do better.
He can do better.
Come on, aim higher. And anything else? Is that it for the news this week?
That's it for this week, Danny.
Just a quick roundup. And I think it's probably a good time to get our guest in. So do you want to give a little intro into our guest today?
Yeah, so our guest today, I've followed him on Instagram for a long, long time. I've got to say, it's one of my favourite Instagram accounts. We'll shout it out probably 5-6 times throughout this podcast, so go give him a follow. Massive Jordan sneakerhead, great collection, awesome photographer, does some awesome creative bits as well on the side, so make sure you look out for that. We've got Mark Surridge, aka 1985.
Now then, Mark, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
No, good, thank you. So for our listeners, I almost said viewers then, but you can't see us, thankfully, because I look horrific at the minute. Just explain to our listeners who you are, what's your Instagram handle, and kind of your little background of trainers and what got you into it.
Yeah, no worries. So my name's Mark. My Instagram handle is at 19.85. I've been a sneakerhead, I guess, for 20 years. I know that because I've just done that Foot Patrol blog, and it gave me a good opportunity to kind of go back and see when I got my first pair, and I was 16. So it was 20 years ago this year. So I'm got into sneakers through basketball. Still play basketball now, and so most of my sneaker collection is basketball related, so whether that's Jordans or whether that's Nike basketball. I take photographs. I don't call myself a photographer because there's some really fucking good photographers out there. I kind of, my lane I guess is a little bit different, kind of more product shots, more kind of lifestyle and home stuff. And on foot stuff as well, but
can I just say you are doing yourself an injustice here, because your photographs on Instagram are fantastic. So
well, I appreciate that, but
make sure you go check Mark out and check out if you don't already, because your photos are brilliant.
Well, I really appreciate that, Danny. Thank you. I just picked up a camera about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, and just started doing it, just started trying it out, and you just get better the more you do something, don't you? So
Trying, we're on about what, episode 11 now, and I think it's
getting any better. Well, you're doing a pretty good job at the moment.
Jordan collection is pretty impressive, Mark, it's got to be said. Like, I've followed you on Instagram for some time now, and it's quite an eclectic like mix of Jordans. So where you said, obviously you got into basketball first and that got you into Jordans. So yeah, were you wearing Jordans to play in to start with? Is that how you got into it?
Yeah, that's it, Dan. So I didn't start playing basketball until I was 16 when I went to college. I was playing in like just the cheapest pair of Nikes. And they were completely busted up because we were playing outside all the time. They were real busted. I had a part-time job at a Budgens, and made friends with a guy who worked there who was a year older than me. We still play on the same team now, actually, which is crazy. We didn't see each other for years, and now we play on the same team now. But anyway, he was like, we went and played at the park one day. He was like, you can't play in those. So he just got the Jordan 16s. And he said to me, I've got a pair of 14s you can have. Now, I didn't know what they were. I just knew Jordans were cool because I'd watched, you know, we were watching all the videos of Jordan at the time. And that was when he was just coming back for the Wizards as well. So he gave me those. And then when I was 18, I bought my first pair with my own money, which was the Jordan 18s, which I don't know if you guys remember. It's like the suede ones. They even came with like a suede brush. In them. So that was really cool. And then I probably just had stuff to play in and maybe like a pair of like Lows or something, you know, just for casual. But I really was only buying Jordans to play in. And then I'd say it was maybe like 2009, 2010, like when I started kind of earning good money, I was really able to like go back and buy, and I was just on eBay all the time. And Facebook Marketplace as well, like kind of 2012, 2013, when like Sneaker Myth and those kind of pages were, and Crep City Marketplace, and going to Crep City, I think I probably went to my first Crep City about 2010, 11, you know, and go and buying stuff then. And I just built up, yeah, a collection from there, really. All the stuff that I'd sort of looked at, you know, since I was 16, 17, and I was being given Slam magazines. And I don't know if you guys remember, but in the back of Slam magazines, they would always have a kick section. And it was stuff that we couldn't get. But, and then, you know, I looked at them for, you know, 10 years, and then I finally had the money to be able to, and the access to be able to get them. So just built up from there.
That's awesome. So have you obviously gone back and got things that you missed out on before you had the money to get? What was kind of the first thing that you really wanted that you never had the chance when it first released?
White Cement 3. And that's just an easy one. And I specifically remember looking in a Slam magazine, seeing the White Cement 3 and just thinking, I've never seen anything like it. Like, it's just, if you think about White Cement 3, it's quite an unusual shoe. It's got nothing on the side of it, you know, just that kind of plain white panel, that elephant print. When have you ever seen, like, yeah, like it's just an odd concept, isn't it? Yeah, it is, yeah. And I just never seen anything like it. So, yeah, I think I got, it would have been the 2012 pair that I got. So I'd probably, yeah, thought about those for 10 years, but by the time I actually got them in hand. We were really lucky as well. In Norwich, we had a store called Main Source. It's still going, but it doesn't get many Jordan releases now. You guys have heard of it? So he started off like a store that you could basically just, it was about as big as a doorway. You know, you walked in, he had just this tiny like crate wall of stuff. But also, if you asked him for stuff, he would get it in as well. But they started to get quite a few Jordan releases. So like, yeah, that kind of time, 2010, 2011, 12, 13. Yeah, Black Cement 3s, White Cement 3s, Black Cement 4s, all that kind of stuff we were getting. And, you know, that was the only place in Norwich where you would be able to get something like that. Everything else was, you know, triple white Huaraches and everything like that.
Yeah,
so,
it's funny you say about asking them to get stuff in, because I remember one of my Jordan memories was the Foot Locker in Leeds, and this was probably 2005-ish, I reckon, and they used to have this system where they could look up obviously the shoe and order it in from other stores, and it was stuff that maybe didn't come to the UK but was in Europe, and it was so good. And the guy in Leeds, I didn't know his name, but he was so good at getting stuff sent in for you. Such a good way of getting Jordans over here back in the day.
That's so awesome. Foot Locker was like a dream to me when I was growing up. Like, it's so mad now because I think Foot Locker's shit, you know, but you know, when I was a kid, the fucking Foot Locker was like, you know, it's like the place of dreams. I remember going to New York in 2010 and going into like the Foot Locker, you know, in essentially in New York, and buying some Jordan, I think they were like, yeah, some Jordan 1 Lows in a really crap colorway. But that was like just to go in Foot Locker and have the experience of going in and buying something at, you know, at the time. That was only like 11 years ago, but still it was awesome at the time.
Yeah. No, I was just asking Dan actually, which Foot Locker was it? Because we had a couple of Foot Lockers in Leeds. We were quite fortunate. Was it the one at the top or the one at the bottom?
The bottom, Commercial Street.
Ah, the rubbish one. I can't believe it. I can't believe you used to go to that Foot Locker, because the top Foot Locker was the place to be. I don't know what you were doing down there, mate.
Yeah, but Dan wasn't trying to buy any Adidas, was he? But obviously the top one was the Adidas one.
No, to be fair, the top one was, back in the day, the top one was TNs and 95s. That's what I was getting. I'm a bit of an eclectic. I know like the Annex page is heavily Adidas, but I do have a lot of, not Jordans actually. So I'm going to dip out a lot of this conversation, because if you get above a Jordan 6, mate, I ain't got a clue what I have. Getting to those technical shoes, I just don't know what they are. But obviously, one of the big reasons we got you on because of the massive release this week, which is the 85s. So have you entered this mad competition on Offspring, or what is
Yeah, this? I entered and I got my DM today. And it's funny, you know, how I feel like at this age, I'm not as bothered, you know, about the losses. I try and more keep my purchases, you know, to just what I do. I really need that. Like, not just do I want it, do I actually need it? Yeah. And that helps me, you know, to deal with the losses a bit better. But when I got the DM, I was in the kitchen and I genuinely danced through to the lounge to show my wife my phone to say I've got this DM, to say I've got them. So yeah, I'm pleased because I went on top of the car park to take the photo for my entry. So I'm pleased that I got them, because I mean, you know, the fact that they have 31 years without a retro.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really pleased to get them. I almost bought a pair of OGs last year for 1500, and I really contemplated it. And I still like a pair, but yeah. I'll stick with the retro now because it's 10% of the price.
Yeah.
I mean, having an OG, it's a once in a lifetime thing, isn't it? You would have it forever, but the money at the minute is just crazy, isn't it? It just went through the roof after the last dance on Netflix, especially.
Yeah,
just went.
It's crazy because I bought my 85 Chicagos in 2016 or 17. I think the end of 2016, and that I paid 350 shipped from Hong Kong. Wow.
Yeah.
And like, and that was kind of like the going price for all the colors. Like, the Chicago was probably the most expensive one, and I could have probably got, you know, Royals and Breads for about the same price. And now your starting price is 1K, like minimum.
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing with sneakers, is you can't look back like that, can you? Because we've all like passed on stuff, or we've all like let stuff go and years gone by that now worth $7,000, and you know, you hold your head in your hands, but you just have to enjoy it whilst you've got it, don't you? That's the thing.
So many. My friend had a pair of the Ray Allen 13s, you know, the PE version that came out when he had the 3-point record. And I sold them for him at Sneaks and Peaks in Birmingham. I don't know if you guys ever hit that years ago, but I sold them for him for 600 quid. And now on StockX, they're in the thousands. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, like you say, you can't look back on stuff and think, oh, I could have made more money on that. It is what it is, or I should have bought that then. If we'd all known, we would have bought everything when we were growing up, wouldn't we, and stashed it.
Exactly.
I would not have sold all my Dunks in 2006, 2007. When I think like Stuss Dunks were in there and Ray Guns, and I'm thinking, oh my God, what I have.
Yeah.
You can't foresee the future, can you? So
you could have sold them all to Travis Scott, Danny, and made a fortune.
I know. Well, just while we're on your epic win, anybody else in this podcast get an epic win from Offspring today?
You know what, Danny? They did. And you know what's funny? I did the exact same thing. I'm not married, but I also ran to the kitchen to show my girlfriend my phone screen. Whilst the message was up there, the DM from Offspring, I was absolutely over the moon.
And did you dance as well?
No dance. Nobody needs to see me dance, mate.
No, we don't need to see that.
But touching on that Offspring raffle we were talking about, Mark, what do you think of like how raffles are going these days and what people have to do to get a shoe? Do you like it? Do you dislike it? Obviously, like me and you both took part in this raffle. I'm sure Danny, if it was a shoe Danny wanted, he would have been into it, but how do you see
they it? Don't raffle Adidas though, do they? They just give them to you, don't they, Danny?
No comment.
So I won't slander Adidas anymore, Danny. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm a big boy. It's fine.
Yeah. It's just like something that's embedded in me. Do you know what I mean? I find it hard to keep it in. I don't hate all Adidas. That's all.
Did you not like the forums that came out? The forum highs?
I thought they'd done those really well. It was really good to see a retro done right. And the aging touches, like the sole and stuff like that, I thought they got it all spot on. It wasn't too much, and it reflected the OG really well.
Yeah, yeah,
it was. Did you ever feel Adidas basketball stuff, like Adidas when Kobe was with Adidas, stuff like that?
Nah, it's funny because those Kobe's, I think it's the Kobe 2, isn't it? Like the one that looks like a transformer, you know, the white with the yellow. We used to clown people for wearing those, you know, on the court. My best mate had a pair, and I used to absolutely rip him for wearing those. But they're really iconic now. It's the same with a lot of shoes, isn't it? Like, you know, it becomes iconic later on.
Yeah.
I had some top 10s that I played in, that I picked up cheap. But I always found Adidas sizing, because it's slightly different to Nike sizing, isn't it? And I always found that the 12 in Adidas was too small and the 13 was way too big. So, and also, like, it was harder to get bigger sizes when I was younger as well. Most places only done up to an 11, and there was no way I could fit into an 11 in Adidas because they do tend to fit a bit small. So it was never really an option.
No, I get that. We just went off on a tangent there, actually, because we were talking about the creative kind of releases and if it's a good or bad thing or how we feel about specific. I don't want to say specifically the offspring one because I kind of think it does bring out some good things. But what are your thoughts on the whole raffle release system at the minute?
I mean, I think just to comment on the offspring one. I'm glad you got the pair, by the way, Dan. That's awesome. And I think what they've done really, you know, I think they started doing those in 2017, and that was at a point where I was ready to kind of think about not being involved with sneakers anymore, or just to pick up whatever I could, because I'd just taken so many L's and just seen resellers pick up so many pairs, I was sick of it. And then they started doing the creative comps, and that gave people, you know, with a collection like me, an opportunity to show pairs that I had and to be a bit creative, and then actually get access to stuff. So I think what they do is good, and you don't even need to have a big collection. You know, if you're creative, you can have one pair and do something cool with it. And there was some really, really good, I mean, stuff that I could never contemplate doing, people doing some fantastic videos and stuff. So I like it a lot. Kicks 93 are doing one for the neutral greys as well, where they're, you know, asking people to show their kind of dedication and stuff. And I think it's a good way to do it, to get them into the hands of real heads. I know there's a lot of skate shops that are doing the kind of make you put it on your foot and walk out and stuff like that. I haven't got a problem with that. There is that kind of argument, like, it's your money, you can do what you want with it if you're buying it, but at the end of the day, again, they're trying to get it into the hands of the right people. And I think as sneakerheads, that's kind of what we want, isn't it? Like, the shoes to be in the hands of the right people. They're always going to go to resellers, like, at some point.
Yeah.
I get that. But we want it to go in the hands of the right people as much as we can. What do you guys think?
I mean, I'm very similar. It's a tough one because a few years ago, if you asked me, did I think I would be doing something like this for a pair of shoes, I'd probably say I couldn't see it. But would I do this 100 times rather than queuing for 48 hours outside of a shop? 100%. Because I think, you know, it's one of those things where you don't have to do it. It's kind of fun to take part. I like it, and it stops the bots. That's the thing. Like you say, they'll always find the way into the hands of resellers, but I think it limits that to an extent. I like it. I think, like you say, some skate shops have done some really good stuff as well, you know, showing collections, showing things like Welcome in Leeds. They did one where it was showing your old skate tees from different stores around the country.
Yeah.
not necessarily their tees, which was cool. It was just supporting local skate shops, so that was a really good comp. So I've got to say, on the whole, I really like it. It gets the shoes to the right people for me. What about you, Danny? Yeah.
I'm going to throw a curveball in because I'm not very creative. So it's something I would, not saying I would ever, not saying I wouldn't enter, but not being a massive creative. Like, I like, obviously, I create videos. I do, like, creative on the podcasts and, like, my Instagram, the photos are rubbish, but I'll create, like, funny captions for them and stuff like that. So I always think if I entered a creative competition, then mine wouldn't stand out. And I think there are other people out there like that who might not want to enter, even though they're into the shoe. And I feel like the same, you know, there's people out there that are so good and so creative. And you know what I mean? And I'll shout out people. And I think they'll always get the shoes because they are so creative. And I think then for the people that maybe don't have that element, you don't get that look. And it's like, but I'm not saying it's a bad way to do it, because I do like that it gets into the hands of real trainer enthusiasts. But I think sometimes I'm like, man, if you've got enough time to sit down and pick, I mean, I don't know if Tess got up here, but if you saw Wavy T, MJ, whatever your Instagram handle is, Tess, she painted a picture and she screenshotted herself painting. And I was like, incredible. Wow. Blew my mind. You need to see it. If you haven't seen the entry, go find Tess's entry. I'll send you it after this. Yeah. But if you don't have the time and you don't have the creativity, then you're going to lose out on that. And I get it. You can't please everyone all the time, but it's just...
I do agree with you, Danny. I think it's one of those things, isn't it? Like when we talk about years ago and camping, if you had the time to be there first, if you didn't have work, you know, you'd be one of the first ones there. That's why the kids were always, or the younger lads, you know, the students were always first in line, because they would just skive off college or whatever, you know, to get there first in the queue. So, yeah, there's always going to be some group of people that it doesn't work for, unfortunately. I think it's just about having a mixture, isn't it? You know, different ways that people can get stuff.
Of course it is. And one of my things is, and not just with this Jordan raffle, with every limited edition trainer or whatever, if there was a perfect way, it would have been found. There's so many people looking at how do we raffle them, how do we keep them out of hands of resellers, how do we get the trainers to the people who deserve them. And I'm not mocking Offspring, because I think they do a great job in general. It's not I'm not having a go, I'm just giving another point.
Oh, nice.
But there is no perfect one, because there's so many clever people looking at this. If the perfect solution existed, it would have been found.
Yeah. And I think Offspring are good as well, because it's not always a creative comp. Sometimes you just comment on a post and they'll pick a random selection of people. Or they have done, tried different ways. The other option is, you know, the online raffle, isn't it? Like End or, you know, sneakers is just... But my thing with that is, do Nike care? Like, do they actually care who it goes to? I don't think they do, as long as they sell. I don't know. If I mean, I was working at Nike, I'd be thinking, do I care who they go to, as long as they all sell out?
Did you see that picture that came up this week? And I think it was came from somewhere in Asia. And this lad has a wall in a room. Talking 200 phones all on sneakers. So when it comes up, he can just enter like that. And it's just crazy. And you think, how do you stop stuff like that? Like, but talking about raffles, from, you know, we'll say the good to the bad, Offspring being good, it was a good raffle. I think people enjoyed it. What about the Trophy Room Jordan 1? I think that says it all, doesn't it? Did you see this, Danny? The resellers a week before release.
I've really enjoyed all the memes. You know, like the one with the weekend, and it said Marcus Jordan when Nike asked him for the pairs.
Brilliant.
And that's Jordan's son's store. You know, that is a little bit concerning, isn't it? When you've got the son of the guy who runs the brand, and it looks, I mean, from the pictures I've seen, people have got, you know, 100 pairs.
Yeah.
And there's only 12 or 15,000 of these?
12,000, I believe. But yeah, there's definitely some pictures where people have hundreds of pairs.
And if they're legit pairs, does that mean they didn't make it to Trophy Room? Or does that mean that they did make it and they...
I don't know. Is this, I'm going to play devil's advocate here a little bit. Do you think it's a bit of a story? Like, you know, you watch the promo video for the shoe and it's, you know, it's called like, you know, there's rumors in quotation marks, stuff like this. Do you think it's done deliberately?
I've not thought of that angle. The rumor has it. Like, rumor has it that they've all been backdoored. That's a nice twist if it is, Dan. A bit like when Union made the ones and they kind of look bootleg and they sold them at the market in LA, didn't they?
Yeah.
And people were like, nah, they're not buying those. They're not legit. No,
I think even Sean Witherspoon, he passed on a bet. He didn't believe they were legit. So
yeah.
But, I mean, what... I don't know how to phrase this, really. Like, do we believe Marcus Jordan would really backdoor all them pairs? You know, would he? Would he risk that? And will Nike do anything about it, as he is Michael Jordan's son?
I don't know myself. I've got to say, Mark, it's glad we have got you on the podcast. I did reach out to Marcus Jordan to see if we'd come on this week and talk about it, but he politely declined. But yeah.
Oh, so I was second choice. Cheers for that.
Sorry, man. Sorry. No, I'm joking. I don't know. I can't work out if it's a good thing or if it's real or not. Because it'd be quite easy for him to just give them to someone, take a picture, build the hype even more. These are going to be impossible to get because this dude's already got 200 in his bedroom.
Yeah.
You know.
Or it'd be interesting if they spin it like that now. They actually backdoored them, but now they're going to spin it like it was a gimmick.
Yeah. Oh,
because all this rumours stuff, that only came out after, obviously, the photos of the pairs. But I've got to say, I think the shoe is brilliant. I love the story. Love the videos you've done. What do you think of them? Is it a pair you're going to try for?
No, it's not a pair that I'm going to go for. I really like the video that they did. And I do like the concept, but I don't like the look of the shoe itself. Actually, it's a bit glittery, bit shiny for my liking. I know it'd be a pair that I'd never ever wear. It would, you know, sit nicely in a box somewhere, but for the effort it's probably going to take, because they're not releasing over here, are they? So for the effort, it'll take me
Trophy Room and Sneakers US, I believe.
Yeah, Trophy Room's a funny place, you know. Like, I don't know if either of you guys have ever had been there when it was a store in Florida.
No.
Because it was like, it had like some kind of decent, you know, like the higher end kind of Jordan and Nike stuff in there, like not your Foot Locker stuff, like your other end. And it had like some nice display cases, you know, with like warm pairs and stuff like that in. But it probably only had about 50 items in the whole store. Like it was a show place. It wasn't somewhere where you'd really go to shop. And when they used to do releases, they used to do them at, they used to rent a nightclub in Orlando and do all the lineups and everything out of there. And then obviously, like, it didn't work. And it closed a couple of years ago.
Mm.
So interesting. The whole thing behind it, like why didn't it work out, and I don't know what was the point of it in the first place. Is it like Mike just saying, Marcus, just do, if you want to have a store, just have a store,
just like a little plaything kind of thing, not really a real business.
Yeah, you want to live in Florida? Yeah, live in Florida and have this store, do whatever you want with it.
So Mark, what is on your radar for this year then, in terms of what's coming out or what you hope you'll see this year?
My biggest two wants for this year were both dropping this week, so the neutral greys and the Carmines, and I've been really lucky to get both of those, so I will be more relaxed this year looking at the other things that are releasing. The Lightning Fours, if they come out, there would definitely be something that I'd look to pick up, but apart from that, I'm saying this now, you know, there'll probably be things that come up or that that I've forgotten about. But yeah, the two releases this week were really the biggest on my radar.
And how is your pair of Carmine 6s? Because I've seen a lot of pairs where they're saying the midsoles dyed pink, so the obviously the red dye in.
Yeah. How many different photos did you see where the midsole was pink?
I mean, only a couple, but also saw a few rumours saying some stores wanted to send them back, which I thought was crazy, because
yeah,
people are going to buy them anyway, aren't they, and just clean them. Like, but it's an OG Carmine 6. It's only probably the 4th Retro. It's, you know, people are going to buy them anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, you're right.
Yes. Have you got it in hand?
Yeah, I've got them here, yeah, and they're lovely. There's no bleed on them at all. Very similar to the 2014. The stitched bit, the Nike Air, and the bit on the tongue, which is really detailed. Actually, is a slightly more burgundy red. The tongue is slightly higher, but apart from that, very very similar to the 2014 pair when you do a side by side. I'll stick some photos up on my Instagram tomorrow, actually, if you want to kind of have a look at the difference. But yeah, I only saw on every blog, it was pretty much the same photo, that one with the bleed. So I didn't know how many pairs there was. But then I did also hear that some stores have been delayed in getting them, which may mean that Nike have pulled it back, essentially. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens this weekend, whether there is a full drop on them, whether that really was an issue and they've had to recall it, or whether it was just a few kind of isolated pairs. I'm sure you guys remember a couple of years ago where it was the Carmelo 13s, the black and yellow, that got pulled just before release and ended up into the outlets because the suede was bleeding, the yellow was bleeding into the black.
I can't remember.
So Fingers crossed we'll be getting Jordan 6s for £40 after lockdown.
And there might be something good in the outlet for the first time in 10 years.
Maybe it's a big rumour from Marcus Jordan that the sort of leading, just to try and get people to buy them. I don't know. No, we're not thinking that. So, yeah, I mean, we what was I going to say? I've completely lost track of, because I just thought that stupid joke before I had something actually in mind to ask you. So is it just me? Obviously, I see through your Instagram lots and lots of Jordans. Is it just Jordans, or is there anything else that sometimes might crop into the rotation or might tickle your fancy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, generally for me, it's all stuff which is, basketball inspired, just because that's what my passion is. So, Dunk Highs, college colorways in particular. I do have a few pairs of Dunk Lows, but I tend to wear highs a lot more. And then, yeah, things like, I grabbed the Pippin Up-Tempos when they released in December. And honestly, that was such a nice release. I went on, JD Sports. Someone just texted me and said they're live, I don't know, it was about 10 o'clock or something, just random drop, grab them easily. They arrived, but honestly, opening that box was probably like the second or third best pickup for me last year. Just there's such a nostalgic pair.
Yeah, yeah.
So iconic. So yeah, it's definitely just basketball inspired stuff. Some Blazers. I've got a few pairs of kind of non-Nike stuff. I've got some Converse Pro Levers, which I really like. Some Chuck Taylors. I'm always kicking around in a pair of Vans in the garden. A pair of old schools. But and I've had other stuff, throughout the years. But yeah, 99% of my stuff is Jordan.
Yeah, and if, like I said before, if you don't follow Mark on Instagram, it's 19.85, and it's written out. 19 is a word. Don't be typing in 19.85 because you won't find him. But you have a look at his Instagram. Check it out. It's absolutely, like the pictures, like I said right at the start, the pictures are amazing. It's a really good page, mate. So.
Oh, thank you, Danny. I really appreciate that. It's definitely a labour of love, and I just enjoy posting stuff and just talking to people. Just meet so many good people, you know, just from posting stuff and getting in conversations with people in the comments or in the DMs. And when I ask questions, like on my photos, I genuinely want to know what people think of stuff. You know, are they trying to pick stuff up? But, you know, what do they think of this? What colorways do they prefer? Like, I'm genuinely just interested in people and what they're into. So,
yeah.
If people want to, want to hit me up on Instagram, I'd love to have a chat with, I'd love to have a chat with people. My DMs are always open, or drop a comment or stuff.
Happy days. Well, thanks for jumping on, Mark. Really, really appreciate somebody who's massively into Jordans from somebody who only owns one pair of Jordans. It's been great for you to actually jump on. And
what pair is that, Danny?
I've got the Nike SB LA to Chicago pair.
It doesn't even count.
It's what?
Doesn't it even count? It's an SB.
Yeah, I know. That's why I got it, because it's an SB. So.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mark. It's been a pleasure.
No, really appreciate you having me, guys. Thanks ever so much.
All right, cheers, Mark. Ta-ra.
Cheers, fellas.
And once again, Mark, thank you very much for jumping on the podcast. It's always good to get other people's views, opinions on things, and just to get, I mean, it's a big week for Jordan this week. I'm not going to lie, I'm not the world's biggest Jordan fan. I appreciate them, like we always say when we talk about on the podcast. We appreciate all sorts of trainers, but, you know, I've only got one pair of Jordans, and as Dan rightly pointed out, they're not real Jordans, the Nike SBs. So,
yeah. I'll give you a pass on that, Danny. They come in a Jordan box, don't they? So
they do, yes. They do.
They're a
Jordan. So moving on, we have got our releases of this week. Not always the top releases, but some things that have caught our eye in the releases. Once again, Mr. Squire has gone through Instagram, and I've actually contributed a couple of things today. I did manage to grab a few minutes while I was stood on my balcony today, doing my usual Instagram shot, checking out the this week's releases. But what have we got coming up then, Dan?
So, yeah, I mean, if people haven't heard us talk about it a million times already, we've got the Jordan 1 Neutral Grey, the 1985. I'm sure people know I'm excited for this one.
Especially after your W.
My W, so happy. I won't believe it until they're in my hands, though. You know what it's like. Yeah, it's one of them where you get the win, but until they're paid for and it's delivered, that's when it's unreal. But there's another Jordan 1 this week as well, which is the Women's Jordan 1, black and silver.
Yeah, I kind of like these. Again, not for me, but I kind of like this colourway, and I can certainly see people rocking them and wearing them really well, I think. And I know they're female or women's. What size? What is the size one? We're going to get into this every week, aren't we? What is the size one?
I believe it goes up to, in the UK anyway, like UK sneakers and things like that. I think it's going to go up to a UK 9 or around there.
Right, okay. So,
it's not like some of the Jordans where they say it's women's and it still goes up to a 13. You know, like the off-white stuff they've done, it is limited to women's sizes.
Yeah. But yeah, I can see some. I know a couple of friends who are some female friends who are going for them who really like them. I know they'll really suit them, but I don't think I could pull off some silver Jordans.
What do you think? When you're buying one shoe a month, Danny, it's probably not a risk worth taking.
No, definitely not. No, definitely not when the next things are coming up. What have we got up next?
So you know what's coming, Danny. It's the Nike SB 2 releases this week in the Dunks. We've got the Dunk Low, which is the pink pig, and then the Dunk High, which is named the beef and broccoli.
The vegan, but is it vegan leather?
Vegan leather, yeah.
I just think, I don't know if this is a coincidence or if this is just marketing genius to put a pink pig suede with a vegan shoe and release them together on the same day. Is it coincidence or are they just completely taking the mic? I can't work it out.
I think it's a coincidence purely because a lot more Nike shoes are actually vegan than I think people realise.
Right, okay.
So I think it would have been vegan anyway.
Right.
I'm not 100% on that, do you know what I mean? No solid info, but there's a lot more vegan Nike shoes than some people realise. So I think it's probably a happy coincidence.
Yeah, but just because it's a brown leather Dunk High, you know, you think leather, you think it's going to be obviously hide, so...
Especially when you're naming it beef and broccoli.
Beef and broccoli, yeah. So out of the two, what are we liking?
It's no contest, Danny. No contest. I mean, there's only one I'll be going for, which is the pink pig. An all-brown Dunkai, there's just not enough going on. You expect a little bit more from an SB. It's not usual for me to say an SB is boring, but it's a boring shoe.
Yeah. And you know, anybody who knows, I like SBs because they're wild. And if I don't want a wild pair of trainers, then I'd get something else. Or I'd put on like a nice pair of Adidas, you know, and that's kind of the way I roll. But the low pink pigs, as soon as I even heard, I didn't even have to see the shoe, just because it's been on that, based on that 917 Porsche, that classic race car. I was like, for those of you that don't know, I am a bigger petrol head than I am a sneakerhead. Well, maybe not bigger, but I am on that same geek level with cars than I am with trainers. And yes, I am 100% getting a pair of these pink pigs. And well, I might have something surprising up my sleeve for these, but I'm going to save that for some visuals, maybe a YouTube video, maybe if I get a pair, I'll put some on the Instagram. But I'll tell you after this recording, actually, because I don't think you know what I'm going to do. But anyway,
I think I do know what you're going to do. Because I know that you love the car so much.
I love the car.
Is that a bit of a hint?
I love the car, yes, I do.
Yeah, I think I do know what you're going to do. So so obviously we know what Danny's going for his February pair.
That is the February pair, yes. I would maybe have got another pair for the Valentine's of my life, but nah.
So I shouldn't expect them in the post then, no?
You're not getting them, no.
And then moving on, we've got, it seems like we've had a Reebok Club C collab every week we've done this podcast, Danny.
I know. And I saw the end. I think at end always do like solid collabs. Whoever they do it with, be that Saucony, be that Adidas, or whoever it might be. And I just saw these on the releases today. I was like, oh, that's quite a little bit different, like a creamy kind of, just something a bit different. Quite simple, quite easy to wear, and an end collab. So I expect the quality is going to be pretty good on those. So
I mean, I'd say the opposite. I think there's just been too many. It feels like they started out with some really strong Reebok Club C collabs, and now it feels like everybody and the best mate's been offered a pair.
Yeah, I see that as well, yeah.
So, I mean, for me, it's a bit boring now, and I hope they don't ruin the Club C because it is a really good shoe.
Yeah, and I'd still say I love the size, just the ones with the orange, the very, very simple ones last year. They were so good.
Yeah, definitely. And the Pata ones as well, great. I think that's the thing with the Club C. Keep it simple.
Yeah, true.
Just change the logo, change one or two colours and you're onto a winner.
Yeah. Anything else?
Another denim collab. So obviously there was the Air Max that came out last year with the 90, the 95, and the Air Max 1.
Yeah.
And now there's the Blazer.
Yes.
What do you think?
I quite like the Blazer. Is the Blazer getting a bit rinsed or not? I can't quite work it out. There's quite a few SB Blazers. There's a few different type of Blazers as well. But I think it's just quite a simple, nice collab, to be honest. Not when I go for myself, but I can see why people would go for it and just wear it quite as a day-to-day shoe. Maybe not something like a super special kind of shoe, but kind of like,
yeah, definitely. I can see it's a very wearable shoe. It's one of them where there's nothing not to like about it.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not going to sit here raving and ranting about it, are we?
No.
And then finally this week, we touched on it last week as well, the Adidas Madrid.
Yeah, again, I think I touched on it last week. It's just okay for me. I know a lot of the Adi heads are going mad for them, and people who've been DMing me going, oh, please do a review on the Madrids. They're just not a shoe for me, so I won't be getting a pair. But I can appreciate those who are really into that might, I can see why people like it. It's just not a shoe for me. Like I said, the Munchen Prost, the Oktoberfest ones will never be beaten. That they were just too good. So anything with that trim trab sole has got to stand up to that. And then, nah, they just don't for me. But good luck to everybody who's entered the draws.
Yeah, mixed bag. And obviously that's not, there's other stuff coming out this week as well. We know there's a couple of ZX, like the Krusty Burger, things like that. But yeah, like Danny said, good luck to everybody going for the, whatever they're going for this week. Yeah. Some really good releases. So let us know what you're picking up.
Yeah, yeah. And please do that. So tag the Sneakronics on Instagram. I do share a lot of pictures to stories. So if you do tag us in, I will share pictures to stories if it's a really good picture.
And yeah, especially the beef and broccoli dunk high. If anyone can just make a brown dunk high SB look good,
yeah. You wanna... yeah, please tag us in. So yeah, I think that's it for this week. Once again, thanks to Mark19.85 on Instagram for jumping on, talking about Jordans. Like we Dan said and we shouted before, go check his page out. He's got an amazing collection of Jordans. I've got to be honest, I didn't realise he was a size 12 or 13. That's just... His graphic skills are so good, they don't look that big in his photos. But yeah, please go check him out. And I think... can't think of anything else for this week. Are we there?
I think we're there. That's it.
Happy day.
Another week in the bag.
Another week in the bag. And yeah, we'll see you next week, folks.